it just really just have to pass by the Congress to accept this ANCSA.
Yes, so Congress passed a law, ANCSA, and it said your Aboriginal title is extinguished, your Aboriginal rights to hunt and fish are extinguished. I know the lawsuit that was described this afternoon is over the question whether that extinguishment of Aboriginal rights stops at the 3 mile limit or not, but that's what Congress did. The interesting thing is that in most of the countries that have indigenous populations, that have native peoples, they look to the judgments of Chief Justice Marshall of the United States, who wrote a series of great judgments in the 1820s and 1830s based on international law, declaring the rights of the Indian people of the United States. And in Canada, in Australia, in virtually every country of the world where they are trying to develop the rights of native peoples, everybody goes back to what that great American judge, Chief Justice Marshall, said. But notwithstanding that, if Congress passes a law that is within the Constitution, wiping out Aboriginal rights, then that's the law and that's enforceable.
Okay, after you heard from Joe's letter to the
President,
is there some way that that the North Slope area could be excluded some way or the other?
Well, I doubt it. This law now applies to the North Slope, but has since December 18th, 1971, when the President signed it. So the North Slope is part of Alaska, and Alaska is part of the United States, and so the law passed by Congress applies to the North Slope and to every other region of Alaska. And there it is. Well,
that's what Congress had meant when they said they must have consent under their own Indian Reorganization Act and also the Act of Congress. Always told us we must have consent. In other words, the United States must have consent to enforce those laws, because the Inca people themselves had, in fact, enforced the Inupiaq law on them. That's still a question. Congress does not want to bring that out again, because they are embarrassed to.
Well, I listened very carefully to what you said last night and again this afternoon, and I understand the point, right now, the courts of the United States are enforcing ANCSA, and that may be contrary to the views that Mr. Neocock put forward last night, but it's what the courts of the United States are doing. They are treating ANCSA as the law and enforcing it, and by any standard known to lawyers, that means it is law. So without going into the merits of the case that the lawyer from Seattle was discussing today, which doesn't really bear on this question, that's where I think it sits. You see, you can say, well, this was an unjust law. Under international law, we are a people. They should have obtained our consent. They never did.
That's
it's contrary
right.
to international law. Well, I understand that argument, and that's an argument that native peoples in other countries have made about laws that apply to them.
Well,
but here, the courts are treating ANCSA as an enforceable law that they must treat as binding on them. That's all.
Well, Well, Your Honor, the valid existing right has never been opinionated by the courts, either the Supreme Court or by Congress. The valid existing right and the possessory right has always been there. It's never been opinionated.
Well, then I may stand to be corrected when the Supreme Court of the United States deals with this very question. But at the moment, I'm doing my best to...
I'm sorry, if
I... No. That's an important question. And Mr. Upikson?
Justice Berger, we were, as Alaska Federation of Natives, at the mercy of the United States Congress because the Alaska Federation of Natives chose to go the legislative route. We felt that it would take too long to go through the judicial process. We were told by Chief Justice Goldberg when he came to Anchorage to talk to AFN to lend his expertise, told us that Congress would not listen to just one association. He had to listen to all of the Alaska Natives. That's why we were at their mercy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thank you. That was very interesting, and I don't think I answered those questions to your complete satisfaction. But they were tough questions.
I think Mr. Nair is asking for a 5-minute break before I begin.
Oh, fine. All right. We'll take a 5-minute break.
There's a lady in the closet.
Oh, sit here. They want us sitting together. Just announce that we will be carrying on here at the Nuslow Borough Assembly room tonight for a little while longer, and then we'll start again tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. and carry on until 12 o'clock, and then we'll start at 2 in the afternoon and carry on for a few hours, and then we'll have a hearing again tomorrow evening at 7:30 here in the North Slope Borough Assembly Room. But maybe I could just announce for the benefit of the people listening in on the radio that at 10:30 tomorrow, Dave Fleurant, who is the lawyer from Alaska Legal Services in Anchorage, has come here to Barrow for the hearings of the Alaska Native Review Commission, and he will be testifying at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow morning here at the North Slope Borough Assembly Room, and he will be testifying on the subject of allotments, Native allotments. He's been sitting listening to the testimony the last couple of days. He'll be testifying tomorrow at 10:30 a.m., and he's willing to answer questions, so anybody in Barrow who has questions about native allotments, who wants to come down to the hearings of the Review Commission at the North Slope Borough Assembly room tomorrow morning at 10:30. We'll devote the morning session and perhaps part of the afternoon session to allotments. So you're all invited to come, and we shall all, I'm sure, find it interesting. Well, we'll resume then, and our next witness is Mr. Ronald Brower.
Thank you, Justice Berger. I'm going to be speaking in English this evening through my testimony, so that that I may properly convey my information to you, so it can be understood in your work. I was born in Barrow, Alaska, and I have lived here throughout all my life, off and on, except for being in the military and during the times that I have left Barrow for other types of business, either for personal or with the work that I do, or for school. The only amount of time that I've really left Barrow for an extended period was during high school and during the time I served in the military. But leaving Barrow has allowed me to gain some knowledge as to how other people have felt about Alaska Native claims. But first of all, I am this year the president to the North Slope Borough's Commission on History, Language, and Culture. I am also working for the Village Corporation as their director of real estate and previously as the treasurer. I have been elevated to the position of vice president, along with carrying out my other duties with the corporation. To go back into some history, for my own personal experience, being raised in Barrow, I didn't really speak any English until I was approximately 6 years old, when I started school in the BI school that was here. And that was the first experience I had in learning to speak English. I was born in 1949. So during that time that I started school and learning English, I was also at around that age being indoctrinated on what U.S. history is. So knowing a little bit of that, I grew up understanding that I was an Alaska Native who was born in the territory of Alaska. Of course, Alaska didn't become a state until 1959. Throughout my growing up period, I was being raised by a lot of my elders here, and I grew up listening to Eskimo stories on history and our culture until I left for high school. So I've been around our elders a lot of my time. They've always had something to say to me, with the hopes that as I grew up to be into adulthood in the future, that I would be of some service to my fellow Inupiat people. At that time, Barrow was a small community in the 50s when I became aware of my surroundings. And all those years we were growing up, we were pretty independent of any outside influence except those of the Naval Arctic Research and their laboratory, probably the Weather Service, Public Health Service, in the BIA school system was the major influence we had within our community. No actual formalized government really existed in those days, except that of the native village of Barrow, who at that time had a very strong council. And of course, Native Village of Barrow was established back in the 1940s under the IRA, during the time that Alaska was still a territory. So up here, I grew up knowing that we were a free people, not really a part of the United States, but also the United States provided us with a lot of essential needs that were not here. This, I guess, was the result of the sale of the southeastern portion of Alaska to the United States. And also probably from the experience related to the whaling activities, which were so important to the lower 48s at that time. As I grew up, our community was already going through changes, which I wasn't aware it would affect us for the rest of our lives up here. And there has been a lot of changes, both negative and positive. Before ANCSA, we were pretty much free to roam where we, as we chose, within our own country. And during the time that we were growing up, our elders would be telling us that this is where your particular family would go hunting. This is where your grandma would do her fishing. This is where your grandma and your grandfather would be traveling. And this is where the area where you would have some cultural and heritage attached to you as you get older, and when you get when you come of age, these are the areas that you would be expected to utilize for maintaining a self-sufficient type in your lifestyle. So I was raised with this kind of thought throughout most of my growing up period. However, as I began to go into high school, there was the land claims movement was in motion probably back in 64. So I began learning about the land claims movement when I attended Mount Edgecombe. During that period, I was I happened to get involved with the city attorney of Sitka, who was dealing with the southeastern Sitka's Indian problems, especially dealing with land, rights of ways, easements, and things of that sort. So he picked up the fact that I was interested in learning some law. Why my interest was in law was I was partly raised by my aunt Sadie Nalko, and she'd conduct court in her home, and we'd go, we'd be playing out, we'd come home, there'd be a trial going on in her kitchen table. So my interest in law was raised by my aunt Sadie, and therefore I continued that type of an interest when I went to high school in Mount Edgecombe. So I met the city attorney, I believe his name was Thor Christiansen, trying to solve Indian problems and their land problems in Sitka. Around that time, I met people like John Hope and Isabel Brady, who would talk to me after school hours about how our people in the Arctic slope should get involved in the land claims movement, which they've said they were carrying since back in the 30s. And I would bring this home to my parents and let them know of what I learned over the years. Excuse me. And then I'd go back to school, and I'd find out when I got back to school that the land claims movement was picking up across the state. Most of this land claims that was developing at that time was fairly new to us. But there were some young people back in 66, 67, around that time, that when I was out from school and I came home, and here were these young people who had graduated from Mount Edgecombe. It's Etook, Stanley Brower, Lester Suvalu, and several others who happened to be sitting around in my parents' home and discussing land claims. They had a map laid out, and they were talking about how this area of space in Alaska had been utilized by our Eskimo ancestry as far as back as they could remember. And they were talking about the Eskimo and Indian wars that used to take place, the treatment of the people here as Alaska had become a state, and they were talking about the development of oil and how people would be coming up here to make benefit of that. Without actually at that time addressing the issue of land claims. Throughout my whole growing up period of time, I had been taught to think that this is our homeland, and that this is something that my people had fought for in the generations past. And also this was something which they were protecting during World War II, during the Japanese invasion. Around that time, I got curious as to what that what the actual movement was. And I began to, when I went back to Mount Edgecombe, I would start talking with people like Isabel Brady and trying to get educated as to what the land claims was all about. She taught me a lot. And one of the things that she showed me was that unless we took some type of an action as a group of natives throughout Alaska together, that we would not be getting anything out of the land claims, and that the benefits of development at that time, oil was known to exist in the North Slope, the benefits that we would be seeking would not be existent after a land claims bill was passed by Congress. She'd talked to me that way for at least 4 years, the time I went to Mount Edgecombe. Well, I started getting interested in that, and by the time I got out of high school, when I came back to Barrow, the native allotment question was being raised in our community. We were being informed that time was running out, and that someone had finally found out that such a thing as the Native Allotment Act existed. And they were trying to sign people up here before it was expired. Yeah. I think there was a big rush for signing up people up here in 1968, right after those of us going to Mount Edgecombe had come back from school. Of course, at that time, many of the people here did not have jobs. Jobs were still scarce. Our communities had not developed to what they are now, and many of the people still lived the subsistence lifestyle. So most of the people within our community were outside in their fishing camps or in their hunting grounds during that particular season. So in that thought, many of the people here never did have the opportunity to file. I know that some people were denied from filing under the claim that they either were too young or that they or somebody just didn't want them to or something, because they were top filing on each other. Anyway, around that time, in 68, I entered into the military service, and within 6 months from the time I signed up, I was in Vietnam and experiencing a very hectic time. But over the news there, we would hear about what was developing about the land claims. I would think that, heck, if I was there, what would I do? So, one of the thoughts that would enter my mind was that, what am I doing here fighting a war for the United States when my people at home are fighting for their own land? During my stay in the military, that was a persistent question. Before I got out of the military, listening to the military news, the word came across that at that time President Nixon was signing a bill, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. We heard over the radio, the military radio, that there was an AFN convention taking place in Anchorage, which had a direct link to the White House before the president signed the bill. And I heard the regents saying yes to the land claims bill. But when it came to the Arctic Slope Native Association, I heard Ituk speaking for us, and he said no to the Alaska land claims. It was my thought that having learned a little bit of Indian law from Thor Christensen, that if our tribe did not consent to the law, then it would not be applicable to our area. Well, as it turns out, I was gravely mistaken, as we now have the corporations. Well, when I got home, I spent some time out on the ice station, T3, trying to place together how I could be helpful in dealing with the problem which remained unsolved in the minds of our community here in the North Slope. To this day, and even from my elders, I still hear the fact that they never gave up any of their rights for the Alaskan Land Claim Settlement Act. So, from that point of view, with respect, continue to follow that belief. Even though I am now working for the Village Corporation of Barrow. When I got off the ice station, that was back in April of 72, I was asked by Eben Hobson to be a member of the North Slope Borough Home Rule Charter. There was a number of us who helped to develop the North Slope Home Rule Charter. And at that time, it was our understanding that the development of a home rule government for the North Slope under the state of rules of the state of Alaska would be geared toward developing an Inupiaq government with the intent of reaping benefits of the oil money that was flowing to the federal and state governments, and to receive that money through the state of Alaska. Well, we are receiving some of that oil money, but the way it is being used has not really been directed toward the way that the people thought it should be applied at the time we formed the North Slope Borough Home Rule Government. I understand that many people would differ with that viewpoint because they believe in the Home Rule Government. I also understand that other people would object to my viewpoint because they believe in the tribal government. So, anyway, I was involved in the development of the North Slope Borough in the early stages, and I still am today. I was given the opportunity either to be a carpenter for the North Slope Borough after we got our job done in forming the Home Rule Charter after it was passed. Eben Hobson and Lloyd Avakana one day approached me. "Well, Ronald, you can be a carpenter working on our housing projects with the North Slope Borough, or you can be a member of the Commission on History, Language, and Culture." I chose to be a member of the Commission on History, Language, and Culture, and I've been with it ever since. So I've had the opportunity to make a lot of observations from that perspective. The impact the governments of different natures have impacted our people here, the way they think, the way they now dress, and the way they eat. Little things like that. I've had the opportunity to observe the changes. I've also observed the changes in attitudes toward the state or toward the tribal governments, and also toward the village and regional corporations. Well, I'll retrace some of other items that I wanted to mention. Is that thinking back, knowing that we had a tribal government here which existed prior to the development of the Native Arctic Slope Native Association. I thought when looking at some history and looking at some records that when the people involved during World War II were done with that duty, that they were given a continuing assignment in that they would do surveillance and reconnaissance for the United States after the war. And I saw a document explaining that the people up here would be left alone to live the way they have always lived, and they would, because of their lifestyle, they would continue to perform a service to the United States of America by maintaining reconnaissance and surveillance when they're going out hunting and fishing. This is a military record I'm talking about. and that this would continue and end with my parents' children's generation. So I thought that if this is a military affair, and we are in a, at until recently in a naval petroleum reserve, I thought this was the relationship that existed for many years until, as I grew up and talking with the late Eben Hobson, and previous to that in the 50s with my grandmother Arlock and my grandfather Steve Hobson. Well, I thought this was the type of relationship that I would be growing up under. Well, that's not the case today. We've gone through a lot of changes in ideas on how things should be run here and how things actually are being run. When your review was taking place in Anchorage, I heard Mr. Ulpiksan make a remark that a fraud had been pulled upon those of us who live in the Arctic slope, a comment to something of that effect. And the same comment was being conveyed to me by several individuals. Well, I felt that to be a true statement, because when you look at it from today's perspective, ANCSA has been very damaging to the Inupiat people of the North Slope. They feel like they are being raped by the oil companies. They feel like they have been violated in their trust relationship with the United States. And they feel that the state of Alaska has been taking advantage of their property rights, even though under their constitution it states that they would not. So I felt that that his statement there is a very true statement in our case. And I would thank him for that. Today, I now work for the Village Corporation. Before I went to work there, I informed them that they have to understand my feelings. Is that I am going to work for the Village Corporation of the Upiavik Inupiat Corporation with the feeling that I am going to be working for a corporation which has been fraudulently set up because my people up here had said no to the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. I wasn't actually sure of the imposition that would be placed on our people here with the passage of ANCSA. We had some very great hopes. Those have been diminished. We had some great hopes in that we would be living a better life as a result of ANCSA, and that we would be reaping some of the benefits. That has not been the case. We thought this relationship between the United States and our people would improve, and that we were getting an ear that would listen to us and help us resolve our problems. That has not been the case. We thought that the development of the North Slope Borough to improve our lives would have some benefit to us, that the type of benefits that we hoped for have not really materialized. The money is there, but so are the material things now. The money than our people here had hoped to gain, so that they might develop themselves in their socio-economic future, would give them some type of prosperity. If you look around our community, that is not the case either. That money may be coming to our North Slope borough, but it is also being siphoned directly out of our North Slope borough. You have large-scale contractors doing the work who claim they have a lot of native hire. But when you look at those, they are not our natives here. They are not from here. And it's quite evident. One has only to observe to notice that. And this is a problem that our people have brought before the assembly. But politics, as they be, play a major role in the way our people live. And our politicians really have not placed into consideration or thought about or probably not even looked at the way our people are living. They don't visit them in their homes. They don't see what's happening to them. They don't see the suffering that they are experiencing from the passage of ANCSA to the present. The intentions are good, but it's just not working the way it was intended. And that's dealing with the North Slope government, because that has some direct relation to our ANCSA corporations. When you look as a director of real estate and looking at the amount of land that the Kinipiat Corporation received, for example, and if that land is being subject to tax in 1991, you might as well give our village corporation to the North Slope Borough, because they have no means to pay for an assessed value of 209,000 acres of land. They presently don't have that. None of our village corporations do, unless they continue to strive to become a profitable corporation and do make profit to be able to pay the levy that they will be experiencing. That's a sign that I see that is forthcoming. It's quite evident. Our people are already suffering that in terms of foreclosures, which you see posted in the newspapers on individuals who have to pay property taxes and cannot pay that property tax. In our case, I think unless this government, the North Slope Borough, deals with that and finds a solution on how the imposition that they are going to place in terms of taxes is solved, you might as well turn our village corporations over to the North Slope Borough, because it's going to be foreclosed. They presently are not able to develop to a point of a few years in order to make enough profit annually to pay for their taxes come 1991. There's no socioeconomic relationship between our villages and this borough government to bring that about at this time. Other affairs dominate that arena. Oil development is a problem our people are finding out. Well, they have been living with that. You heard the gentleman, the mayor from Nuiqsut, in their experience. Well, it's not only there. It's here, too. It's also beginning to affect other areas of Alaska, as oil development is being expanded to other areas through lease sales. We can anticipate that in a few years, maybe 20, 30 years, the Arctic slope, you can imagine, will have as many fields developed to the enormity of Prudhoe Bay. They're starting up now in small areas, but cumulatively, the total will have a devastating impact upon our culture, because we are a hunting culture. And that frame of mind has not left our people, even though we have been immersed into a cash economy. Well, the cash economy may be going through a boom at these years, and it has been a boom.